Introducing JCPenney Home Services, now offering custom window treatments, HVAC installation, bathroom remodels, and more. Call 855-JCP3463 or visit jcp.com/homeservicesradio to make an appointment. Special financing available. Get everything you need for your home all under our roof. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. JCPenney Home Services, LLS. Subcontracts work to licensed or registered contractors that are background checked. Arizona Plumbing Number 310873. HVAC 311001. General Contracting 311000. Financing subject to credit approval.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Your Battle to Win. This week, we are going to be doing part three of Winning Your Case in Heaven's Court. And I guess in this particular week, what we've been building towards is the discussion of, like, so some of us may be having victories in our personal lives and our communities and, I guess, what some may consider smaller circumstances, even though they still, these smaller areas affect our whole, our world, you know, the world that we are in. But I guess for some people, it may be like, what does it look like to apply it to larger situations that affect more people? So we're going to start off by talking about what you said, like America's...
Well, what is our importance? Like, why would we want to win a case for America? Like, why, how do we get beyond ourselves and into our communities?
Like, why would we want to do that?
Well, what's the importance? Like, there's a big debate on what America is about. Like, some people feel, unfortunately, that we deserve to go into a tailspin. And I think it depends on perspective. I mean, I think it's a very limited perspective to think anybody deserves that type of hardship. And I mean, I can kind of see why. I mean, other countries even say with what the persecution they go through, that they grow closer to understanding God and his righteousness by going through the persecution,
mm-hmm.
by the extreme contrast of the evil that they go through and encounter, and the deliverance and the closeness and the presence of God that they experience when they are, encountering, severe persecution, right, certain countries.
Mm-hmm.
And they pray for us that they would not... that we would actually go through it, that we would not continue in our blindness or our luxury, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of it's because certain people behave that way, but I think not everybody, just like not everybody in those countries obviously get persecuted. They're taking a stand for Jesus, so they get persecuted, but not everybody, maybe it's a lot more. I mean, in a sense, it is, they know who's real and who's not in here. We do also, but I think it's that same thing. It's just the deeper and the more we comprehend, the more we understand what we're facing. We understand the battle that's there. There are people that are losing their lives in America for the gospel,
yeah.
for the truth, for Jesus, for God, for righteousness' sake. So if people aren't seeing that, then what? I think that's part of the question that we need to ask is, why do we want to win a court case in heaven's court for America? Why is it so important that we have America delivered from this unrighteousness?
And I know there would be some people that would like to paint America as this, like, beacon of perfection for the world, when at the same time, like, as with as many good things that America has, we're not perfect either.
Okay, so what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying that some people might feel like there shouldn't be a need to present a case for America because of how, quote-unquote, free everybody is. Like, since everybody is free to do whatever they want, then that doesn't mean that we have to worry about, like, being set free from X, Y, and Z. Because they may not even think about what trials in America look like. And they just may think it was like, oh, yeah, this is the difficulty of maintaining a consistent job and, providing for your family and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think their attitude towards, I guess, God's role in America, because God has a role in every country. I believe that he does have a reason why countries go through certain things. And, you know, economists and world leaders can try to figure out, like, you know, how to paint a different picture than what's reality, or try to, you know, bend their country's situation. But
so then how do we make it so that people understand their role, their individual roles here, and how they're important for America, as well as why America's role is important in the world? Because that's what I'm hearing you say.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like you to keep focus, like keep it attached to what the cases are, like how the nations work. Like it's a great point that you're bringing up. And then, so how is that important then? Why does America have, or what do you think America's important role is? Why do you think America has an important role? And then how we as individuals are able to intervene and influence what happens here?
Yeah, I think what it means is that, like, I think America could be an example of what can happen when they're, like, so we know, we've seen throughout history what it looks like, how quickly the kingdom can expand in times of hardship, and it's interesting to see how that works, and that's partially why these other countries are praying for more difficulty in America, is because there's a historical reputation of when there is persecution, the church grows faster, not only in terms of number, but in terms of, like, how deep their faith is. They just grow that way. But I think that America has a unique place because, you know, imagine what would happen if we, I guess, took advantage of the fact that, like, we don't have barriers, so why are we so timid to act upon our freedom?
You mean speak our mind, speak what we
speak
really
our mind,
believe,
speak our heart, speak what we believe, like, and not be timid. We're not supposed to have a spirit of fear. It's supposed to be a peace and a sound mind. And that includes what we talk about.
Okay, so then so does persecution need to happen for us to gain awareness? Is that absolutely necessary? Or what scriptures say that?
A verse that comes to mind talks about how perseverance develops character, but I'm not really thinking of anything else.
Okay. Well, so in a sense, what you need to do and I need to do, like even in what we're doing in this program, is that we need to even present a case to the listener on the idea that America has an importance, and that each of us have an importance to make America, make it so that America takes its rightful role, the correct role, on the earth, right, as a nation or as a country. So, as a group of people. So the thing is I was listening to a really good program discussing why Israel stood out to God. Well, why did God have them do things that we don't accept today, although there's so much war today, it's crazy. But we don't accept the idea that God would
overthrow other nations like that and have it be in a military format.
Right.
You know, and I don't...
They had good points, and I'm not sure I can...
I can understand, like, as these places were destroyed, or peoples, like, nations were overthrown or overcome or overpowered, or however you want to word it, it created a fear throughout the entire world that, hey, like, these people, they're so tiny in terms of their population, but anybody that stands in their way is obliterated. So you don't, like, there's obviously something behind them, and that is a, not a physical power, it's a spiritual power that plays into everything. Some of them knew it was God, some of them said it was something else, but I think the reverence of understanding that their God was real and breathing and involved in everything they did to the point of battle, I think, was something that was important.
Yeah, I have to go back because I thought I could retrieve it, and it's just, it was escaping me exactly what was said because it was well worded. But the idea is that God was demonstrating his holiness, and in kind of the thought is like, you know, a little bit beyond me. That's why it's like I can't just retrieve it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that there's a lot in Scripture to understand. I think that's the most important thing that God is always saying, is that he wants us to know his heart. He wants us more than anything to know him. That's what we're here for, is to know him by everything that he's already done and everything that he's already said. And people have trouble understanding Scripture or believing that it's that he actually speaks to it, that it's actually his will or actually what he said, because something seems so just contrary to how we think now or how even Jesus presented things. Hmm. So the thing is, you know, and I think we need to, I want to cover that a little bit more and go into that deeper, because I think it's really important for us understanding. You know, the purpose of the show is our battle to win, right? Your battle to win. And we need to win our own individual battles, definitely, because that's with either that or we're tossed to and fro. I mean, we're not single-minded. Really, the battle to win is to become single-minded or single-eyed, you know, it's our eye full of light so that we're not double-minded. We're not tossed to and fro. We understand the Scriptures, and we understand what God means. And when we don't understand it, it requires us to ask, seek, and knock. You know, all of his Scripture is true. It's just that we are without him and without his revealing to us and without us accepting what he's already offered us, then we end up blind and we don't see things straight. And we're all in that boat. We're all there. And he wants us to be humble enough and seek him and know him, and then for us to be able to fellowship and know him with a purpose. And the big purpose is how we are to become one with him, how we're to have our will align with his will, how for us to have our way align with his way, and for his kingdom come and his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to win earth way to have it heaven's way.
Mm-hmm.
And when, I mean, now that I, you know, have been seeing this, like, it's all over Scripture, it's all over in his word everywhere, but I didn't see it before because I didn't ask, seek, and knock. I mean, I did pray to know, understand the kingdom for 30 years, and I really wanted to know, but it wasn't until I clued in on that Scripture that, if you know, that he says the mysteries of the kingdom, actually it came first. I said, you know, I must not see and I must not hear everything. And I must definitely not have a heart that understands everything. So at that point of humility, when I agreed that I didn't see and hear and know, which, you know, I kind of touched on other times, but I squared off.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I see consistently about people's testimonies. Is it's when they square off with God and they say, you know, you're right. You must be right. Even if I can't see and I can't hear it and I can't understand it, you must be correct. So the idea that all of the Scripture and all of our place as America has importance, we need to be able, if people don't see it,
mm-hmm.
The key thing is that we reach the humility that we say we can't see it. I don't understand it, you know, or my perspective must be off. You know, there's none of us can have 100% perspective. So our perspectives are all off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the miracle. I mean, to me, this is part of the miracle of God himself, is that we can all have our perspectives off. Some people way off, right, that aren't seeking him, and they're way off. I mean, some of them heinously off. And then, or I should say any time it's off, it's heinously off, really, because it's really, the heart becomes very deceitfully wicked. And so the farther away from God, the farther, the more that could be atrocious towards another person. Mm-hmm. That's really where, you know, towards God and then towards another person. So America's importance is huge, because out of any of the countries, even if we're behind, I believe right now Africa and, you know, other countries are really making a big gain on their humility before God. And mm-hmm. so you see rapid growth in China and Indonesia and different places, India even, in different places, parts. I mean, there's a battle for it. But there's a battle here mm-hmm. for us to win. We have had scripture so much that even the idea of us understanding heaven's court is, again, like we mentioned in our last show, it's so much part of our understanding. I mean, his word put into our judicial system. So even with how flawed it is, we can understand quickly the structure of his justice, of him as righteous judge mm-hmm. and everything. So I believe as Americans, we have a very important case to present, each one of us, different cases, not just one, but the idea that the case that first off is, hey, Father, righteous judge, you have put this experiment into place here in America, and we need you to intervene, because, you know, obviously we've become deceived and there's been a lot of warfare to make it so that our education system has taken us way off track to the very fundamental portions of the word where our parents are to walk with us and talk with us and teach us as they grow up. Instead, you know, we've been in a lot of bondage to walk in the ways of mammon, in the ways of security, in the ways of making money, you know, just a lot of emphasis in places that are contrary. You know, and that goes back to that curse, comes from putting trust in mankind and strength in men and turning our back on the Lord. Those bring on the curse. So those are the things that we're battling here. And that curse, to me, that's what those other countries have gone through too. Their persecution is the result of the curses that have been on that country because of the type of leadership that took over. And therefore, they're heavily persecuted. But I believe that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to be persecuted to know him. Mm-hmm. He wants us to choose to know him and stop the persecution. So this country has obviously had many different types of internal battles over truth. But we also have had some amazing things in which we have, because of the greatness of the word applied in this country, you know, from the judicial system to, you know, obviously the government to the freedom to speak about scripture and to have it preached. Even though the battles in the churches, and there's a lot of deception that's being taught in the churches unintentionally, and I'm sure intentionally, people that, you know, things I can't fathom that are happening behind the scenes. But the bigger thing is that the word has been so pervasive in this country mm-hmm. that people don't even know how much our expressions hold truth in them. So, and how much it does please the Father. Yeah, but yet he lets us be because that was his, I guess, deal, right? He was going to allow man to make a choice, and he had plans from the beginning to show himself through all of these things, right? So
that's really interesting how God used, like, he would tell the Israelites to execute, like, to fight a certain nation, and they would have instructions on how they were supposed to fight, and when they obeyed, then they'd win, and if they didn't, they'd lose. And maybe that was another way of God being like, hey, I'm with you guys, but if you don't listen, it's not going to be going well for you. And maybe because they were isolated in their own little bubble, going from place to place all the time. That was another way of God, like, saying that, you know, if he left them by themselves to survive in the wilderness, I mean, by themselves meaning, like, they didn't have to come in contact anybody, they'd become, like, they'd probably, I think they would have complained worse and would have gotten a lot, like, softer as God's chosen people. And part of having to endure and go through all that stuff, you know, I don't know. As I read it, I'm like, they could have complained so much more, but the fact that God was involved in every battle, both physical and mental, you know, that really made them, like, you know, God would make himself known as often as he possibly could.
And the interesting thing to me in Scripture is that the relationship between the Father, you know, Father God, and people, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everybody, you know, Paul, Jesus. I mean, it's just fascinating to think of it if you're reading Scripture from that perspective. It's like, oh, wow. You know, and that's the thing. Scripture is amazing, and the more you read it, the more amazing it gets. I mean, but I understand why some people have struggled through it, because we really need the Holy Spirit to help us, you know, do it. And we have to accept the Holy Spirit. We have to receive the Holy Spirit. We have to, you know, just like we do with each other, we either can reject each other or we can receive each other on a daily basis. It's not like a one-time thing. I think that's part of the fallacy that's being perpetuated in the church, American church, is often that we say, oh, everything's fine if we receive Jesus or receive the Holy Spirit once. But then if we reject him on other days, then that's the turning our back, and that opens up us up for the curse still. Even if we have the blood of Jesus that has set us free, the idea is that he wants us walking in the power, love in the sound mind, like you brought up earlier. And so the idea what I believe we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you're kind of distant. Are you just tired?
Well, I'm still thinking, like, because a lot of my thinking as of late has become really focused on me as an individual, not necessarily with a national element of mine. It's more or less like individual affecting the small community around me. I think partially because I used to think too much about the, I guess, affecting the nation as a whole, and then I realized that it's, you know, I guess there's a void and a priority necessary to work on the smaller areas. But now that I've kind of been focused on that for a while, I need to go back to being able to be bigger.
Okay, that's a good point. Because the thing is we're in a daily battle for our own perspective towards the Father, right? Whether or not we're wanting to pray without ceasing and really influence our own heart, you know, when we're upset or we're distressed or we don't think things are possible, when we lack hope, you know, when we lack love. We're battling to actually stay in the right perspective. But the thing is we need to win those. We need to get past it. We need to really understand where that is and why that is, why we're going through so many battles. Because we have big battles, we also have to win in heaven's court.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why it's so important that we learn to battle to present these cases before the Father, before the righteous judge. I mean, we really have to also understand the different roles that God plays and the different roles that we have. And that, you know, you will address me as mom, but you're not going to address me as wife, right? You're not going to, no, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to sound weird, but it's just like the idea is I am a wife, I'm not your wife, right? I am a wife, and you know I have that role,
mm-hmm.
right? But you're not going to address me that way.
No.
So it's those types of things that we have to understand, that there's different, that God wants us to see him for his different roles, and it's very important. You know, you automatically understand your role, my role as your mother or even as your coach, but sometimes you don't necessarily focus on me as the coach,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you have to keep that attention, because there's something more natural. I don't know if that's, you know, again, if that's a good word, then the more natural for, you know, a physical coach that is your baseball coach or, you know, or your singing coach or, you know, whatever that is, right?
Yeah.
And so you lose me, you lose the focus of me being coach, and you can quickly go into my role as mom. And you have to focus on me as coach. But when you realize I'm being your coach at a moment, if you address me as coach, so much more powerful for you, and you can advance so much more. And I think this is key for us to understand that the different roles as counselor, Jesus is counselor, the Holy Spirit is counselor, and the right and their role as the righteous judge, right?
Yes.
So again, I mean, the Father is righteous judge, but I also see that he's given all authority to Jesus, and he's also given, you know, as I've been looking through it, it's like I'm not quite sure how to approach him as righteous judge, like who has the role, but right now I'm sticking with Father, but I've seen that when I read it through it, I see it in different ways. But then, anyways, I don't want to like speaking on things that I'm not certain of. And I'm not sure what needs to be certain, because often things take time to develop or for us to understand. Even when there is truth, it takes us time to understand it as truth, right? We have to step that way. And that's what I want freedom for, you know, me, obviously, but I want freedom for everybody to see that while we are to pursue righteousness mm-hmm. and truth, that we also have to be humble enough to understand that even when we think that we know righteousness and truth, that we can be and maybe even likely are off. But the thing is that we know that God holds everything together, and when we can see that, that's amazing. And it's absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the idea that we have a role for America. He's holding America together. He has held it together. I mean, I'm amazed. And people have woken up way before I did, right? And which was in, you know, the late 90s I woke up. And I actually woke up, as we talked earlier, on other levels that led me to this, by the Lord's hand, obviously, but he's also woken people up way earlier, right? And they thought that America was going to go down, you know, way earlier, probably even before I was born, people thought America was going down. So, but we have a role, and he wants us to learn how to take the authority we have and present things before him. So back to what we talked about before, the idea that, or maybe I didn't cover it well 2 weeks ago, but when we intercede, the word, I had it wrong actually 2 weeks ago, I think it was, because I had looked it up, and when I clicked on it, it took me for intercession, as there was a connection with supplication. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. Why would we intervene? But something happened, and I either clicked on it wrong, or the word was both in there, and I have to go double check, because so much of life has happened in these 2 weeks. I mean, I've looked up tons of things. It's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think I'm getting older. My too much fluoride in the swimming pool.
Fluoride.
Yeah.
Is fluoride in the swimming pool?
Yeah, well, in the water supply. So I know I battle more with being able to retain all my information. But if I do rosemary essential oil, it definitely comes back, and there are other things. But anyway, so intercession.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just make this clear. Intercession, the Greek word means comes from to hit the mark, intervene, intercede. First qualifier towards it, or definition, is intervention. So intercede, our intercessions are intervention. And it doesn't say whose intervention, because we're obviously interceding for God's intervention, but we're intervening
mm-hmm.
by interceding. So now, well, no, this is huge.
No,
this
no,
is the hitting the mark. This is the hitting the mark. This, the opposite of sinning, which is missing the mark, is hitting the mark, right? The opposite of missing the mark, sin. That's all that sin means, is missing the mark. Hitting the mark means intercede. To intercede, the verb to intercede is to hit the mark. So the only way to hit the mark is to intercede. And that means to intervene. And this is the first step in the oneness that we become with the Father. Is that, and when we intervene, we're intervening by interceding, but we're interceding for him to intervene. So we're intervening for him to intervene. And that's the first uniting of his will. Because it says that it's where heaven and earth intersect. So it's intervening in the intersection is what intercession is. And then it's about the Father's will being executed here on earth. That's what it says. So if you look that up in the Greek in Strong's Concordance, that's what it will say from the intercessions in the passage where it says, you know, I urge you to make petitions, supplications, prayers, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all men. So the key is that this intercession that we do before heaven's court, before the righteous judge, is absolutely critical to overcoming all the ways we miss the mark. So it says, if you know what to do and you don't do it, it is missing the mark. It is sin.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have faith, it is sin. These are things that are in Scripture. These are the things that define sin. Sin, missing the mark. So hitting the mark is now to intercede and say, okay, look at all the ways that we're missing the mark in America.
Mm-hmm.
And we can take any country, but we have a responsibility as living in this region that's under this structure that has utilized God's word and implemented it, and we've worked as a people group, even though, you know, some people feel like it is flawed, which I'm going to say most all of us, recognizing in different ways the flaws that are here. We can look at Israel, and obviously Israel's flawed, not just the current Israel, but all the scriptural, you know, Israel throughout all scripture has been flawed. Every mankind and every nation, every people group has been flawed. And the way that this structure has. And God never wanted there to be governments, right? And those other governments were there because they were putting trust in man. So then when Israel wanted to have a government structure, a king, that was also the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what God wanted, when we want to sin, God allows us to sin because he wants us to find out for ourselves that, hey, that wasn't very smart. So that wasn't the best way. And I think that's what we're finding is like, we have people that run, if you would, because we've given them the permission, supposedly, right, to run things on our behalf. But they're not doing it unto the Lord, and they're not doing it, therefore, even under the Constitution. I mean, that's why they said it's only for our Constitution. Our constitutional republic is only for a moral and religious people, is what Washington said in his speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's kind of interesting because a lot of people would consider themselves moral and religious, but it's different set of morals and different set of religion.
Than what our country was founded upon.
Because back then, religious meant Christian.
Okay.
I think, and moral meant that they
adhere to the word.
Yeah.
The scriptures.
Yeah, because you could be religious and moral.
Okay. So these
like
are important.
You could study scripture and not want to live by it, and you don't live by it. Like religious, you were in a religious household.
Right. So the words mean something different now.
Yeah. So, well.
On purpose, because it's a word war.
It's a word war. But I'm talking about the context of what it meant back then.
Okay.
Like religious more or less referred to the household and the environment that you lived in. And moral referred to your countenance and the way that you acted. So I guess it's like basically what Washington was saying is in a Christian foundation accountable environment, this is where this works.
I'm glad you're being very direct about that, because it's like something we kind of tiptoe around in this modern.
Well, yeah, because everybody's wanting to, they think that because there's such a talk about freedom, they want to make freedom means that you get to believe whatever you want as long as it doesn't offend somebody else.
And actually, you know, there is a part of that, because that's the way God absolutely operates. He allows us to do whatever and sin whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a time that there's a, he says, obviously, it's appointed once a time. It's appointed once for a man to die, and then the judgment. But he also, Jesus made it so that we can go and have that judgment changed, because justice, like we talked about before, requires the ability to forgive and create mercy. Otherwise, all of us would be under condemnation. So, it's really important that we're going through all this, I can see, because, I mean, people don't necessarily think that America can even be changed, but then that has to be a case that people who believe that it can be changed needs to present.
And it's just like, how does America get to our position then? By not changing? If you don't think, like, that's what I can't believe, is if someone says, oh, we can't, America's too far, a certain way to change. And it's like, well, how did we get here in the first place? Something had to change to get us here.
Right, in the wrong way.
So just because it's possible for it to go this far doesn't mean it's not possible for it to go back.
Right. Okay, and so then we have to, that's a little case you presented. And we have to present the case before heaven, before the righteous judge, using all of God's word. Because he wants us to intervene, so he intervenes. And what does he want to intervene? And that's what we have to agree upon. When we understand from Scripture what his will is, which is everything in Scripture, everything he said
mm-hmm.
is his will. The positive things and then the things that he says no to. No, this is my will. No, I don't want that to be. Yes, I want this to be. We know his will. It's all the good things. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father. So the thing is that we know what his will is. If we really want to know it, it is there, he tells us. And we have to ask him. If we don't understand it, ask, seek, and knock. Hello?
Yeah.
I don't understand this. I am not being knocked. Help me understand what I don't understand. Why do you say this? Why did you say this in your word? But the things that we do understand, we need to intervene and have him intervene. Hey, we aren't doing this. We are missing the mark in America. We are missing the mark. So Arizona just passed that bill, HB 2014, where now gold and silver are legal tender and they won't be taxed and they won't be treated differently because now it's considered currency. And so to, you know, change currencies is not going to be considered something that can be considered capital gains
mm-hmm.
because it's just now those who want to stay with gold and silver – aren't going to be taxed for the inflation, basically, that goes on with the debt notes, the debt instruments,
mm-hmm.
Federal Reserve notes, right? They're debt instruments. So they end up creating, the stability of gold and silver as a currency. Well, I'm getting off track. I'm trying to explain it. But the idea is those are positive changes. And they come about based upon adhering to understanding and truth, and people who have, you know, most of Arizonans probably don't even realize that happened, right? And then obviously the rest of the country. But this is really key because it is bringing us back to a standard so that there can be equal weights and measures, that there isn't something being done to us, this inflationary thing that's being manipulated.
Yeah.
Against us. And so, you know, people have intervened and put cases here on earth. We can intervene and put cases in heaven and say, here is your word. You want your kingdom come and your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You have given us America in which we have the freedom right now to not go undergo the persecution for speaking forth your word. Some people get persecuted for it, for sure. I mean, probably everyone, actually, everyone still gets persecuted. It's just different. People just say, oh, you're fake, you're stupid, that's not the right word, you're not using it scripture properly. I mean, that all happens, right? These are false prophets, these are false teachers for, you know, I mean, I've looked up a bunch of people that I have felt uncomfortable with, but I start seeing, it's like, oh, you know, again, we can all be misled or we can all be judged in as being in error. But that's not what God's saying. God is saying, bring it to me, and even where you're wrong, I will make it right. If you will intervene, if you will intercede, I can make it right.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to be able to stand me well enough to know my word and to then ask the right questions, seek the right ways, then knock and be persistent, right? Like you said, and you don't have, I mean, it doesn't have to be persecution. It has to be a heart that wants God more than anything else. And when we want God's ways on earth more than we want all this horrendous stuff on earth the way that it is, then we are going to say to the righteous judge, don't judge us, give us mercy. We want to fix this. We want this correct. Do you think that's what he wants? Does he want to intervene to make it correct? Or is he wanting to say, what?
I'm still processing.
Okay. Oh, well, you know, reprocessing. He absolutely wants to free up. I mean, gee, that's why Jesus came. It's to set the captives free. He wants
everywhere.
Yeah,
in all areas.
Everywhere in all areas, and the kingdom of heaven is right. Is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the king. He defines it. I always wondered, and somehow I missed it because I know I've read that passage because I always wondered, what do you mean it's not eating and drinking? What does that mean? But now it makes sense because it's not all the things, even though these other things are important, that's not the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The important things are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the case that we are to bring, each of us differently, because we all see something completely different, or we all emphasize something completely different, and that's why we're all important, is to intervene by interceding and agreeing with the Father's will and saying, we want your truth back in every facet of America. We want, you know, we want some standards of equal weights and measures because we know you want it.
Mm-hmm.
We know you want the children to be safe, not abused or put into child pornography or worse. We know that's what you want, and that's what we want, and we are going to intercede and intervene so these kids have safety and protection.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has a different things that mean something. For you, especially in the music industry, we know you want purity in the music. We know you want the music to, you know, to lift people's hearts to you and edify them to do what's good and to feel good about themselves. You know, we know that's what God wants. We can look at his word and say he wants us to sing, speak to each other with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, making joy in our hearts unto him. These are things that unless we see that we can intervene to have him intervene, that we can want his will like he wants his will in his word, when we want what he wants, then he's going to do it here because we accept it and we receive it and we are responding to it. So this is the case we're building for you as our listeners, and then we want you to think through what are the things that, how are we missing the mark in America? And then how are we going to bring that mark? You know, how are we going to hit that mark? And really, it's interceding and asking the Father that we hit the mark. having heaven come to earth, having heaven's way be earth's way, our way, to have the Father's will done here. And it's not for us to go out and do it. It's for us to intercede for it to be done. And then just as we just as we become one with him in intervening, he's going to intervene, and we work at his will together instead of us just going around trying to do it ourselves, put our strength in our own flesh. We might know what's right.
Yeah.
But if we don't intercede for it, we are still missing the mark because we're putting strength in flesh, and that brings on the curse. And this is the whole spiral down that we have seen, the changes in the wrong direction, because we have somehow not been discipled in this gospel of the kingdom, as he said. So do you want to wrap it up right now? And then we'll come back next week and actually go through the case, bring more specificity.
The overview of the case type of thing to match. Well, I don't think the presentation changes. It's more the way that it's, I guess, the way that you talk about it. And the perspective that you have.
Well, I mean, I just know that you're looking at the time, so that's why I was like, all right, I just trying to wrap it up. Well, I just want to bring people to feel comfortable, not just talking about it, but actually interceding and understanding how to present the intercession. I mean, I don't think it's difficult. It's very simple. I mean, that's what the single-minded is also simple, that his ways are not complicated and they're not difficult. It's not like we have to, I was looking at the word cast, the whole casting out of demons. And really the word, one of the words was banish,
mm-hmm.
banish the demons, basically. And it's just like, well, why didn't anyone use that word? Because that word means something to me. Cast them out was just always, what? Like, it never occurred to me it meant just like when I started thinking, oh, it's just like kicking them out the door, kick them out is what they meant by cast them out. But casting them out just sounds hyper-spiritual or something needed to happen. But when I looked it up and it said banish, I'm like, ah, that's easy for me to relate to. I want to banish any evil spirit from being around. So the thing is in terms of being able to present the case, I think it is simple and it's easy, but maybe it's going to be easier if, a good teacher actually doesn't just leave the person hanging. And we actually want to walk through things, and I don't know if I'm a good teacher, I want to be one.
What's another good thing? That's another key thing, being able to walk through things with people. Like, that's probably one of the more powerful things, and that's why also people in other countries feel like they're able to succeed, because people are forced to have to rely on each other in a specific way.
Well,
because in our culture, I mean, people do rely on each other, but I feel like there's a certain depth that needs to be reached, and also part of that is the way people are willing to be open to other people, like transparent, saying, hey, I'm willing to put my, your perception of how awesome I am on at risk by saying I deal with this. But now we're also going back into the personal discussion instead of
Well, we can do both. I think that would be good to do more on the personal and on the community and at the, whatever level. We'll kind of pray through that, and anybody can write to us this week and say what, maybe if they have something they even want us to use as an example.
Yeah.
Or call it in now, and then we'll know, and we can go through it for next week and actually present it.
But we're on Facebook by searching Your Battle to Win. And we're going to be broadcasting, or we still broadcast every week, every Sunday, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Our usual discussions last about 45 minutes, unless people want to have their two cents, and then we have space for an additional 45 minutes after that. But I think next week we're talking about next week being the last week for Winning Your Case in Heaven, our Winning Your Case in Heaven's Court series, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and after that, we'll be continuing on our discussions in other areas of winning spiritual battles. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next week.
Have a great week.
Meet Phil Sklar, co-founder of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum.
Our dream is to make Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the bobblehead capital of the world.
At American Family Insurance, we believe your dreams are the most valuable things you will ever own. So today, we're supporting Phil's dream.
If people would like to be a part of the bobblehead dream, we take donations in money or bobbleheads.
Every dream deserves a champion. Find yours at AmFam.com. American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its affiliates. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Meet Phil Sklar, co-founder of the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum.
Our dream is to make Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the bobblehead capital of the world.
At American Family Insurance, we believe your dreams are the most valuable things you will ever own. So today, we're supporting Phil's dream.
If people would like to be a part of the bobblehead dream, we take donations in money or bobbleheads.
Every dream deserves a champion. Find yours at AmFam.com. American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its affiliates. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.